Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 3, Chapter 19. Jesus Christ was not a mere man, begotten from Joseph in the ordinary course of nature, but was true God, begotten of the Father Most High, and true man, born of the Virgin. But again, those who assert that he was simply a mere man, begotten by Joseph, remaining in the bondage of the old disobedience, are in a state of death, having been not as yet joined to the word of God the Father, nor receiving liberty through the Son, as he does himself declare, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." But being ignorant of him who from the Virgin is Emmanuel, God with us, they are deprived of his gift, which is eternal life. And not receiving the incorruptible word, they remain in mortal flesh, and are debtors to death, not obtaining the antidote of life. To which the word says, mentioning his own gift of grace, "I said, you are all sons of the highest, and gods, but you shall die like men." He speaks undoubtedly these words to those who have not received the gift of adoption, but who despise the incarnation of the pure generation of the Word of God, defraud human nature of promotion into God, and prove themselves ungrateful to the Word of God, who became flesh for them. For it was for this end that the Word of God was made man, and he who was the Son of God became the Son of Man, that man, having been taken into the Word, and receiving the adoption, might become the Son of God. For by no other means could we have attained to incorruptibility and immortality, unless we had been united to incorruptibility and immortality. But how could we be joined to incorruptibility and immortality, unless first incorruptibility and immortality had become that which we also are, so that the corruptible might be swallowed up by incorruptibility, and the mortal by immortality, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For this reason it is said, "Who shall declare his generation? Since he is a man, and who shall recognize him? But he to whom the Father, which is in heaven, has revealed him, knows him, so that he understands that he who was not born either by the will of the flesh or by the will of man, is the Son of Man. This is Christ, the Son of the living God. For I have shown from the Scriptures that no one of the sons of Adam is as to everything and absolutely called God or named Lord, but that he is himself in his own right, beyond all men who ever lived, God, and Lord, and King eternal, and the incarnate Word, proclaimed by all the prophets, the apostles, and by the Spirit himself, may be seen by all who have attained to even a small portion of the truth. Now, the Scriptures would not have testified these things of him if, like others, he had been a mere man, but that he had, beyond all others, in himself that preeminent birth which is from the Most High Father, and also experienced that preeminent generation which is from the Virgin, the divine Scriptures do in both respects testify of him. Also, that he was a man without comeliness and liable to suffering, that he sat upon the foal of an ass, that he received for drink vinegar and gall, that he was despised among the people, and humbled himself even to death, and that he is the Holy Lord, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Beautiful in appearance, and the Mighty God, coming on the clouds as the Judge of all men. All these things did Scripture prophesy of him. For as he became man, in order to undergo temptation, so also was he the Word, that he might be glorified, the Word remaining quiescent, that he might be capable of being tempted, dishonored, crucified, and of suffering death. But the human nature being swallowed up in it, the divine, when it conquered, and endured without yielding, and performed acts of kindness, and rose again, and was received up into heaven. He, therefore, the Son of God, our Lord, being the Word of the Father and the Son of Man, since he had a generation as to his human nature from Mary, who was descended from mankind, and who was herself a human being, was made the Son of Man. Wherefore also the Lord himself gave us a sign, in the depths below and in the height above, which man did not ask for, because man never expected that a virgin could conceive, or that it was possible that one remaining a virgin could bring forth a son, and that what was thus born should be God with us, and descend to those things which are of the earth beneath, seeking the sheep which had perished, which was indeed his own peculiar handiwork, and ascend to the height above, offering and commending to his Father that human nature, hominem, which had been found, making in his own person the first fruits of the resurrection of man, that as the head rose from the dead, so also the remaining part of the body, namely, the body of every man who is found in life. When the time is fulfilled of that condemnation which existed by reason of disobedience, may arise, blended together and strengthened through means of joints and bands by the increase of God, each of the members having its own proper and fit position in the body. For there are many mansions in the Father's house, inasmuch as there are also many members in the body. Chapter 20. God showed himself by the fall of man as patient, benign, merciful, mighty to save. Man is therefore most ungrateful, if unmindful of his own lot and of the benefits held out to him, he does not acknowledge divine grace. Long-suffering, therefore, was God when man became a defaulter, as foreseeing that victory which should be granted to him through the Word. For when strength was made perfect in weakness, it showed the kindness and transcendent power of God. For as God patiently suffered Jonah to be swallowed by the whale, not that he should be swallowed up and perish altogether, but that, having been cast out again, he might be the more subject to God, and might glorify him the more who had conferred upon him such an unhoped-for deliverance, and might bring the Ninevites to a lasting repentance, so that they should be convened to the Lord, who would deliver them from death, having been struck with awe by that portent which had been wrought in Jonah's case, as Scripture says of them. And they returned each from his evil way, and the unrighteousness which was in their hands, saying, Who knows if God will repent and turn his anger away from us, and we shall not perish? So also, from the beginning, did God permit man to be swallowed up by the great whale who was the author of transgression. Not that man should perish altogether when so engulfed, but arranging and preparing the plan of salvation which was accomplished by the Word, through the sign of Jonah, for those who held the same opinion as Jonah regarding the Lord, and who confessed and said, I am a servant of the Lord, and I worship the Lord God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. This was done so that man, receiving an unhoped-for salvation from God, might rise from the dead and glorify God, and repeat that word which was uttered in prophecy by Jonah. I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord my God, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. And that man might always continue glorifying God and giving thanks without ceasing for that salvation which he has derived from God, that no flesh should glory in the Lord's presence. And that man should never adopt an opposite opinion with regard to God, supposing that the incorruptibility which belongs to him is his own naturally. And by thus not holding the truth, should boast with empty superciliousness, as if he were naturally like to God. For Satan thus rendered man more ungrateful towards his Creator, obscured the love which God had towards man, and blinded man's mind not to perceive what is worthy of God, comparing himself with and judging himself equal to God. This, therefore, was the object of the long-suffering of God, that man, passing through all things and acquiring the knowledge of moral discipline, then attaining to the resurrection from the dead, and learning by experience what is the source of his deliverance, may always live in a state of gratitude to the Lord, having obtained from him the gift of incorruptibility, that he might love God the more. For he to whom more is forgiven loves more. And that man may know himself how mortal and weak he is, while he also understands respecting God, that God is immortal and powerful to such a degree as to confer immortality upon what is mortal, and eternity upon what is temporal. And may understand also the other attributes of God displayed towards himself, by means of which, being instructed, man may think of God in accordance with the divine greatness. For God is the glory of man, but God's works are the glory of God, and the receptacle of all God's wisdom and power is man. Just as the physician is tested by his patients, so is God also revealed through men. And therefore Paul declares, "For God hath concluded all in unbelief, that he may have mercy upon all." Not saying this in reference to spiritual eons, but to man who had been disobedient to God, and being cast off from immortality, then obtained mercy, receiving through the Son of God that adoption which is accomplished by God himself. For he who holds without pride and boasting the true glory opinion, regarding created things and the Creator, who is the Almighty God of all, and who has granted existence to all, such a one, continuing in his God's love and subjection, and giving of thanks, shall also receive from God the greater glory of promotion, looking forward to the time when he shall become like God who died for him. For God too was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, to condemn sin, and cast it, as now a condemned thing, away beyond the flesh. But that God might call man forth into his own likeness, assigning him as his own imitator to God, and imposing on him his Father's law, in order that he may see God, and granting him power to receive the Father, being the Word of God who dwelt in man and became the Son of Man, that he might accustom man to receive God, and God to dwell in man, according to the good pleasure of the Father. On this account, therefore, the Lord himself, who is Emmanuel from the Virgin, is the sign of our salvation, since it was the Lord himself who saved them, because they could not be saved by their own instrumentality. And therefore, when Paul sets forth human weakness and infirmity, he says, "For I know that there dwells in my flesh no good thing," showing that the good thing of our salvation is not from us, but from God. And again, "Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he introduces the deliverer, saying, "The grace of Jesus Christ our Lord." And Isaiah declares this also when he says, "Be ye strengthened, ye hands that hang down, and ye feeble knees. Be ye encouraged, ye feeble-minded. Be comforted, fear not. Behold, our God has given judgment with retribution, and shall repay. He will come himself, and will save us." Here we see that not by ourselves, but by the help of God, we must be saved. Again, that it should not be a mere man who should save us, nor one without flesh, for the angels are without flesh. The same prophet announced, saying, neither an elder nor an angel, but the Lord himself will save them, because he loves them, and will spare them. He will himself set them free. And that God should himself become very man, visible, when he should be the word giving salvation, Isaiah again says, Behold, city of Zion, thine eyes shall see our salvation. And that it was not a mere man who died for us, Isaiah says, And the holy Lord remembered his dead Israel, who had slept in the land of sepulture, and he came down to preach his salvation to them, that he might save them. And Amos, Micah, the prophet, declares the same. He will turn again, and will have compassion upon us. He will destroy our iniquities, and will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And again, specifying the place of his advent, he says, The Lord hath spoken from Zion, and he has uttered his voice from Jerusalem. And that it is from that region which is towards the south of the inheritance of Judah that the Son of God shall come, who is God, and who was from Bethlehem, where the Lord was born, and will send out his praise through all the earth. Thus says the prophet Habakkuk. God shall come from the south, and the Holy One from Mount Ephraim. His power covered the heavens over, and the earth is full of his praise. Before his face shall go forth the word, and his feet shall advance in the plains. Thus he indicates in clear terms that he is God, and that his advent was to take place in Bethlehem, and from Mount Ephraim, which is towards the south of the inheritance, and that he is man. For he says, His feet shall advance in the plains. And this is an indication proper to man. End of chapter 20.